The John Schneider Show on Wyman and Bob every Thursday until draft day with Seahawks President of Football Operations, John Schneider.
We're back. We're back. We got caught up in a conversation off the air with Dave Pearson about his acting debut and his Academy Award and all of that. And it's time for the John Schneider Show, by God. And the president of football operations and general manager, John Schneider, is here with us. How are you, man?
Good. How you guys doing? How was Arizona?
It was great.
Fantastic.
Tan. You both are tan.
Well, I got tan. You said Dave's got blood pressure issues.
Why do we have to start off like that? And it was like Pearson and Schneider had this whole thing choreographed.
It was actually, we said it the exact same time.
They did, yeah.
I don't have blood pressure. Did we just become best friends, Dave?
Are you going to do karate in the garage? It's going to be great. It's good to see you in person.
That was bad.
Talking on the phone.
Well, the bad, and we couldn't really see each other, and you guys were delayed, and then the whole time we had Terrell Dotson upstairs, so it was like zero fun for me because I'm like, we were negotiating, and I was like, okay, are we going to get him? Is he going? So I just wanted to get off the radio as quickly as I could.
he wanted to be done with us. Honestly, yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Sorry, what was the question?
Yeah.
Well, I don't blame you. I mean, that is your job, right? This isn't really your job. So,
no.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Hey, we were just talking before you got here about your draft philosophy. We talked about it last week where it's you're going with the best guy available. And I just threw out a hypothetical. Let's just say you don't move up or down from – you're there at 16 – and the best guy available happens to be, we were trying to think of the spot, the position
the
group.
The most bountiful.
The most bountiful position group you have. Where you're going, what if the best player you have ranked as another cornerback? Would you go with another cornerback or whatever position you feel like
really,
we've got a lot of?
Really, you don't go till need until you're, you know, towards the end of the draft when you look at what's happened. And so, okay, we're going to draft. You know, we did this several years ago. We drafted three running backs. Well, we drafted Brooks, the last running back. You know, it's like he was our highest rated player. Well, we ended up like just taking the best players in the seventh round, and that created a logjam. So at that point, we're like, you know what? That's probably not a great idea. Let's go with, at that point, sixth round, seventh round. Let's go with need and what your numbers look like at different positions based on what the draft has looked like so far. But that goes first round, second round, third round, fourth round.
So it doesn't matter how deep you are at that position already. You're going
to. No, sometimes we'll move. You know, if we have a player that's rated higher. And, you know, sometimes, like I told you guys before, we don't draft. We don't grade for the league. We grade for our team. So that grade is incorporated with need. So it all kind of plays together throughout the entire draft. And in free agency as well. It's not. You know, when you're talking about, you know, there's a cutoff. Like, okay, are we overpaying this guy? Are we not offering this player enough? Is he just going to choose another team based on our offer if we're coming in too low? Or, you know, that's a whole evaluating the player and the position and how much need and all that. But you can't overdraft and you can't underdraft. You can't overpay and you can't underpay.
You got to get it exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be like right in the middle. Yeah. You can't. Yeah.
When did you learn that philosophy? I know you started out in Green Bay, right? Was that 95, 96?
Well,
somewhere?
Dave, it was 1992. Thank you.
1992?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. So unrestricted free agency, that's the only reason, though.
Yeah, so, I mean,
I was able to get a start.
Was
first year of free agency.
Was Wolf the guy that kind of gave you that philosophy, or where did you learn that?
That was Ron Wolf, Al Davis. That was that grading scale. Ron created the grading scale working with Al Davis and Dick Steinberg with the Jets. But just, you know, over time, our experiences with other clubs and, you know, working with the Redskins at the time and the Chiefs, you know, working back with in Green Bay with the people that I've worked with there over the years and the lessons, you just learn from your mistakes and you know, your wins and your losses, you know, over the years. And, you know, I've been in situations where I've worked for a president of the club. I've worked for a guy that was a head coach that was a GM or, you know, a true GM and Ron Wolf that was in charge. So, and everybody has a different way of looking at things. But, you know, I think that at the end of the day, you have to say, okay, what's best for the organization? Like I said, you know, Mo would say, period, point blank. What's best for the organization, period, point blank. And so, you know, taking emotion out of it and just saying, okay, here we go. This is the decision we're going to make. And when you do what's best for the organization and you don't go on emotion or need, then you're going to be okay.
You talked about being here in the building with Dodson when you talked to us last time.
Yeah.
So you signed him. You signed Jerome Baker. What is it you like about these two guys?
Yeah, both of you guys were freaking out about the linebackers at the time. I'm like, well, okay, there's one upstairs, and there's another one flying in tomorrow night. So I really want to tell them, but I don't want the other guy going to the other club, and I don't want the guy upstairs leaving to get on the plane to go where he was supposed to go, and I almost said where he was supposed to go. So, I'm sorry. What was the question?
What is it you like about these guys?
Oh,
for people that aren't as familiar with them, they're not the huge names that people know, but guys you obviously had a keen interest in.
Yeah, you know, Willie and the pro staff, they really had identified Dodson, Nolan and those guys as well, as a guy that would be a great fit for us. The background part was, you know, Dan Morgan, a good friend of ours, now is the GM for the Panthers, was with Buffalo at the time when they signed him as a rookie free agent, and has always bragged about him, been a huge fan of the instincts, and, you know, slightly undersized, but great eyes, great feel for flow, be able to, you know, find the ball inside, runner, box, and then the coverage stuff is really, really, really impressive. So it was just a matter of time. You know, he'd always talked about when this guy gets to play, because they had some pretty good linebackers playing in front of him, and he's been a damn good special teams player. So, you know, he was really a guy we had identified, like, okay, well, you know, if this doesn't happen, that doesn't happen, then we should probably make a move. And he's 26 years old. He came in, you know, Coach Mike and AD and the whole, you know, Coach Frazier, the whole defensive staff did a great job recruiting him, because he had significant interest from another club. That's what I was saying. We were trying to not let him leave the building and go get another flight. So, so we were really excited about him. And then, you know, Baker, we've been working on him, Jerome, since the day he was released, really met with his agent down at the combine, and we're kind of presenting our case, and you know, we think it would be a great spot for him. Both guys have worn the dot, called the defense. You know, Jerome right now would be the Will, Dotson would be the Mike, is the way the coaches are seeing this. And you know, Baker's—he's worn the dot. He can fly. We really liked him in college. He's just a run and hit guy. He's had a lot of production, a lot of sack production too. So, the one thing that stands out about him is his range. He can really fly around the field, and Dotson as well, both in coverage, and we're trying to get big up front and get really strong down the middle of our defense, and then try to build from there.
We always talk about, like, free agency or the draft about, you know, drafting or signing starters. But what about some of the guys, like we're just talking about Nick Ballore and DJ Dallas, that are like, you know, those are the guys you fill in the back end of your roster, and how much are you, you know, looking at those kinds of guys that, you know, to acquire, whether it's the draft or free agency?
Yeah, the backup guys, there's phases to free agency. You know, there's this first phase, the acquisition. There's really no end to the acquisition period. I mean, we're really doing this all the way through the year as much as we possibly can, even after the trade deadline, with, you know, waiver claims or trying to, you know, take a player off of another team's practice squad, trying to create as much depth of competition as we possibly can, you know. But with players, there's like first phase guys that, you know, their market's going to be high, right, wrong, or indifferent. We have to grade these players and put them in that category, and then a lot of them stay, and, you know, some of them, you know, are priced a bit high in our opinion, and they see value in themselves, which they should. They're competitors, and you know, their agents have a high opinion of them. And then, you know, you go to phase two. Phase is right before the draft. Phase three is really, you know, after the draft, and then four is really kind of that period, that kind of dead period before training camp starts, and then into training camp, guys that are, you know, maybe they've been rehabbing or they just haven't found a spot yet, a veteran player. But we don't refer to them as down-the-line guys because, to your point, you know, DJ, Nick Ballore, guys like that, those guys are core players, big part of our program here for several years. So it's okay, who are we going to be drafting? Who are we going to be signing as, non-drafted, you know, rookie free agents? And then what is – what does this next phase of free agency look like? You know, we have guys scheduled after the owners' meetings to come in here on visits, and, you know, these are guys that, again, just for some reason, or just don't have a seat yet.
Are you keeping tabs on the guys that some you let go? Because you said you keep the door open for anybody, whether we're talking about, I don't know, Quandre or Jamal or any of these guys. Do you look at them, like, even in Jamal's case, do you ever think, well, we could bring him back and maybe he's a linebacker. Maybe that better serves what he does well.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we, when we acquired him, that's what, you know, we were thinking. He was a will linebacker. You know, like I told you guys before, he came in, was really productive. You know, injuries, what have you. Anyway, didn't work out. You know, and then, you know, the safety group right now is for some reason is a strong group. The market's, you know, there's a lot of guys that are highly, highly qualified. Obviously, you know, guys like Diggs and, you know, yeah, we keep tabs on those guys all the time. Really happy for the guys that, you know, as we discussed last week, that went out in free agency, like Brooks, Bobby, those guys went, the linebackers went way faster than we thought they were going to. So based on previous history. So, you know, Colby Parker, you know, D. Lou, these guys, happy for them. You know, it, again, at a certain point, you have to take emotion out of it and just focus on what's best for the organization and figure out where your stopping point is.
Tell us about those safeties, Rayshon Jenkins and Kayvon Wallace. Tell us give a little preview on those guys.
Yeah, Rayshon, you know, we didn't think we'd be able to acquire both those guys and Kayvon. Rayshon came in a couple days before Kayvon, had a great visit with the staff again. Defensive back guys, Carl Scott and those guys did a great job recruiting him. Really live wire, cool personality. You know, could play in the hole, could play in the box. You know, he's a physical football player, great ball skills, lots of range, gets his hands on the ball. He's always been a really fiery, you know, explosive player that, you know, carries himself with a lot of juice. Great in the locker room down there in Jacksonville. The guys really liked him, and they only really liked him with the Chargers as well. And then, you know, Kayvon was a guy that, you know, we had talked to Philly about at one point and just always kept track of him and brought him in and just stuck with him. And he had a great visit, wanted to be here. And so the fact that we were able to add both those guys creates a ton of depth, a ton of competition and options, you know, for the coaches to really dig into and get their hands on us again as we try to get strong in the middle of our defense.
We were talking about the draft and the combine and workouts and trying to remember, has there ever been, you know, the story this week is Marvin Harrison Jr. And I know you don't want to get into specific players, but he didn't even do anything at the Ohio State Pro Day. And we were trying to remember, have we seen a player do that? That the combine's one thing. Usually they're saving it up for the Pro Day. Is that... Depends. Do you remember anybody doing that?
No, I don't. It ain't really if guys are injured, you know, that sort of thing. But he did, you know, he did work out last year at the Pro Day with C.J. Stroud.
Okay.
And in JSN and had a great workout. You know, he caught balls for C.J. and had a great workout. And I think there was so much buzz at that time. And I was like, well, this guy's, you know, as we've talked about before, like, it's not these guys' fault. Like, this guy's going to be the top player. We'll probably be the first pick in the draft. And, you know, I'm totally guilty of it. We left the workout like, wow, that was really impressive. I mean, CJ was good. JSN was really good. Everybody was really good. But you're like, wow, next year, that guy.
Right.
You know, so he's probably like, in his mind, he had a great season again. You know, in his mind, he's probably, and, you know, obviously he's getting his advice from his father. And, you know, you really just turn the film on as a talented player.
Do you see that happening more just as things progress, like maybe more like top picks?
Yeah, I think it's rare. It's like the 1%, you know, really. And then, you know, you have your guys that your team, like the core guys that your team, the football team is made up of. So, you know, call it like three through all your, you know, undrafted rookie free agent guys. Like those guys are working out, doing whatever they can. They'll go work out for anybody, meet somebody in an alley somewhere and work out for them and run a 40 or something, you know. There's only a... You know,
select few
that are you know, that could pull that off. So, you know, God bless him. He's a talented guy.
So you're going to the owners meeting, and just the one thing I just have to get off my chest. We've been talking about it for like, I don't know, a year.
Okay.
The hip drop tackle. I just can't square that in my mind. How in the world that is supposed to get done? Like nobody has shown me or anybody how you're supposed to do it. Other than, like, it's described, like, I feel like if you wrap them around the waist and you're going to bring them down to the ground, that's just going to happen. It's gravity. And I don't see how you can – I'll stop ranting, okay?
No,
tell me about
I think
am I wrong about that?
I've talked to you about this. I've talked to Bobby Wagner about this. The guys I totally respect, Dan Morgan, John Lynch, it's very hard. You know, they're you know, how are we supposed to do this, right?
Right.
Defenders. Personally, I was, like, against it, and then, you know, went to a presentation at the Combine where, you know, there was several defensive Hall of Fame players that watched the same film that they showed all of us, and it's dangerous. It really is a dangerous thing. There's guys definitely getting hurt. So it's difficult, and you know, there was referees in there as well in this meeting, and so during this presentation, and my personal fear was, well, how the referee is going to be able to call this during a game.
Yeah.
And the response right now, and we'll see what happens at the owners meeting, but the response right now from, you know, the referees is like, hey, it's just as easy as the horse collar. And we'll be able to take it out of the game like we did the horse collar. So, you know, like all these different rules, there's different steps to it. I can totally understand the player, the defense, how you would feel about it, how, you know, I haven't talked to John Lynch about it now since we were at that presentation, but, you know, guys like Dan and again, you know, Bobby, players that I, you know, totally respect, defensive players, I can understand why it would be so difficult. The thing I would say is that, you know, from somebody that didn't play the game at your level, but has studied it for so long, is that when you're watching the games and, you know, you see injuries like that, we have so much respect, admiration for these guys, people that are out there putting their bodies on the line and throwing their bodies around like that. And, you know, I've had these discussions with, you know, with Cam and Doug Baldwin and Cliff Averill, and it's not, you know, I know it's football, it's a very violent sport, I get it, but it's you know, it's tough to see, you know, and you don't want to see guys losing their careers if it's something that we can take out of the game. But to your point, in the right manner, are we going to call it the right way?
Yeah.
Some of them are close. Like, some of them you're like, whoa, they're like, that's not one. Some of them are like, okay. Now he just flipped his hips and dropped, and, like, it looks like a wrestling move kind of, you know, so.
Yeah, it seems like it would be hard to differentiate. If Dave's running and I dive, I'm leaving my feet. My momentum is going to carry my legs.
Well, that's part of the rule, though. You have to swing your hips. There's a lot to it. But, so when they presented it, again, I'm with you. Yeah. I was like, well, geez, how are we going to do this?
Because your weight's what is bringing the guy down.
This is 2 years we've been talking about this.
Yeah.
But when they show the play, and I'm sure they'll do it, you know, for everybody at maybe during the owners' meeting or right after or whatever. But when you see the plays all back to back, like this is not. This is, then you're kind of like, okay, then, you know, is it a 15-yard penalty or is it just a fine? Is it, what is it? And then so right now the rule is that they want to present and we would vote on is that it would be a 15-yard penalty. Mm. And I'm not sure, I don't know if they would still fine the player or not as an egregious act or not. I don't know that yet. We just don't have enough information.
The kickoff thing's gonna be wild. Do you like that? The proposal? It's the XFL model.
We want to keep the game. We want to keep the play in the game for sure. You know, and the statistics, the injuries, you know, the less concussions, all that. And I think it would be so unique that I don't think you can just do it during the preseason and then flip it back because you're going to have to practice reps for it.
Right.
It would drive, you know, special teams coaches nuts. But I think it's, you know, at first I thought it was just one, you know, one kicker, one returner. Now they're talking about having two returners, you know, 5 yards apart. And then, okay, you know, how much ground can you cover if you think about, you know, where the kickers are going to be placing the ball. You know, there might be more strategy to it.
Nobody can move until the ball's touched. Right?
Exactly. Yeah, and you have to drop it into the past 20-yard line. Yeah. So I know it sounds funky. It does. The first time I was kind of like, all right, here we go. What is this one? You know what I mean? But I think there's a chance if we can keep players healthy and make it an exciting play, great. You know, as long as we're not just completely taking the play away. You know, like you know, we've talked about the onside kick before. It's like, okay, well, the percentage of that is like, geez, you know, we've talked about that for several years as well. So, but I think, you know, kickoff returners, punt returners, I think it's, those guys are so talented. I think you want to see that. Mm-hmm. And you want to see the, you know, that gladiator style toughness. I mean, that's why we all respect the game as much as we do, because, I mean, let's face it, not everybody can be Dave Wyman.
No, very few Dave Wymans in the world.
No,
well, and all right, are you through? So the other thing I would mention, Rufus Porter. You remember Rufus
Adam
Porter?
Adam Heller was the guy's name I was trying to tell you, but I apologize.
What was his name?
Adam Heller. He was not the strong safety, it was not the offensive line. It was the strong safety I was telling you about. I'm like, why are we doing this drill? They would toss us this when I was in college. They would toss us the ball. We had to stay in these running lanes. Okay, they put cones out, and they ran through there. And this guy, Adam Heller, was like, he was like, I think he was a military guy. He was like 25 years old, and I'm 19. I'm like 180 pounds, and they tossed me the ball, and I'm like running through there. And I like made the guy miss. He goes running by me. And
of course.
The coaches are like, what are you doing, Schneider? You got to stay in the lane. I'm like, I'm not going to let that dude hit me.
They wanted
a
collision.
I'm like, that guy's a freaking gladiator, man. Yeah. He's going to kill me. Next time I had to stay in the lane, I got smashed.
Just take it.
Yeah.
Just Jeez. Take it.
I don't know what kind of what that proves. Yeah, I was talking about Rufus Porter and how I remember he forced a guy to redirect at the 5 yard line. Like he ran like a 4 flat flying 40 or something like that. So, you know, and I just hope that doesn't take those guys out of, because he doesn't make the team if it's not for that. And then
agreed.
And then he ends up being a Pro Bowler as an edge rusher later. But
right.
I don't know that part of it. And I heard a player talking about how that's how a lot of us make the team is by, you know, lighting your hair on fire and running down on a kickoff
right.
punt or something like that. So,
but last year it was really like, it just felt like, you know, you had punt return, and that was it.
Yeah,
you know, and that didn't, you know, obviously, you know, the field goal units, but I mean, like what special teams plays are impacting the game, and it was just felt like just those two units really, the punt return. So
yeah.
I just hope it doesn't go away, but you know, we want to keep the guys, you know, as healthy as we possibly can. The concussion rates on those plays are huge.
Hey, is we talked to you last week. You guys had just made the Sam Howell deal. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Does that change the urgency, if there was urgency, to get a quarterback in this draft? Because this is supposed to be the deep quarterback draft next year, according to the analysts, is not great. So I don't know if you felt, hey, we got to get a guy this year. Does that acquisition change your approach to the draft at all in terms of quarterbacks?
No, not necessarily, but I will say post-combine, you know, the first negotiating window weekend when Drew went to the Giants, that mm-hmm. There was a level of, okay, now this guy threw the ball great, that guy threw the ball great, you know, you're like, okay, well, that team needs a quarterback, that team needs a quarterback, that team needs a quarterback. We need a backup quarterback. Like, we need to get on this thing, and we got on it and hung in there, and you know, we were one of four teams that was in it, and you know, Adam Peters, I give him a lot of credit. Like he hung with us, and we were, I'll tell you what, later on that night I was really, really blessed, relieved after getting calls from other clubs that were, you know, kind of like, how'd that happen? What did we, you know, it's like kind of just staying in touch with somebody. And, you know, there was a gap of, I don't know if they were traveling or what, but just be able to stay in touch with them that day and be able to work it out. It was awesome.
Oh.
And then Sam came in and had a great, he came in that same day. I was like, oh, that's right. We traded for you. I was like, that's right. Oh, that quarterback's here too. Where it was like crazy up in the hallway. So great guy. You guys will get to know him. He's awesome.
Cool. Well, have a nice trip down there. Is gonna get a chance to like go to Disney World or anything like that, or
no, Dave? No. We're gonna be sitting air conditioned. No, I think there's like
no, Dave.
Saturday or Wednesday, I think. You know, we'll be able to, you know, get that. You know, I don't want to get fried. I'm always worried about getting fried. That,
yeah,
you know.
Don't get fried.
No.
Yeah. And if you do have time for Disney World, enjoy that too.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
Just get out and just enjoy the ride.
Just abandon the meetings.
Forget about stuff.
I'm not interested in the hip drop. I'm going to see Mickey.
And if you do get sunburned, just tell everybody you have high blood pressure.
Yeah.
That could very well be.
John, we appreciate you,
all
man.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
You too. Right, there you go. There's John Schneider.
Hear Wyman and Bob every afternoon 2 to 7.